guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is the one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, where this week we are talking NWA WCW from February the 15th of 1986. We are recording this on June the 14th of 2017. Before we get started, I want to say thanks again to Bobby Blaze, who filled in for Hardbody Harper last week, who was traveling and was on the road with Wildcat Sports doing his thing in Philly up in the Northeast. And with all that said, Harper, how you doing, man? You back and in back into the swing of things and everything, or what?
Yes, I got back fucking today, man. Fuck.
Dude, just got back today. He's been on the road for almost a week.
Yep. Busy. Fuck.
Philly, I heard.
Maryland,
Philly, go ahead.
Fucking New York.
That's right. That's right. You were on the road, man. You definitely were doing that. Hey, I heard that you pissed off the Philly fans based on a report by Mike Johnson on PWIInsider.com, man. I heard you roasted them or torched them on the microphone. Is that true?
That place is shitty, bro. Don't go there. Don't go there for nothing.
What did you say on the mic, man? I heard you went off before Danny Flamingo and Socorro did battle.
It makes Jersey fucking look like Beverly Hills. It's fucking trash.
Let me say this. Mike Johnson put you over, and Mike Johnson's seen a lot of wrestling in his life, so I'd say that's a compliment.
Yeah, well, yeah. He knows a good thing when he sees it, apparently.
I hear that. Doc, how you doing, man? You doing all right this week?
Hey, Harper, did you take any ether with you to Philly?
No. I should have.
I'm getting disappointed, Harper. You haven't used the ether yet, and it's really disappointing me.
You should have just ethered that whole town.
Yeah, God. But that place was shitty. I tell you one thing. I was so looking forward to getting a goddamn Philly cheesesteak, right? Big fucking whoop, bro. It's just a goddamn sandwich. I mean, it's just meat, cheese, and shit in a fucking in bread. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, hey Harper, I got to tell you.
He is pissing off every listener we have in the Northeast.
Great, fuck him.
A po' boy can kick a fucking Philly cheesesteak's ass any day of the fucking week, bro.
I was about to say that. You are from New Orleans. Well, you're from Metairie. But being from that area, you know what a po' boy tastes like. Whether it's fried shrimp, whether it's a hot sausage po' boy, anything. Mm-hmm. So, I agree. I'm not going to tell you that a Philly cheesesteak was terrible, but, I mean, the first time I had one when I was in my 20s, I was like, all right, this is good, but, I mean, damn, I can get po' boys back home. It was like what?
It was like Glacier. There was so much hype and like, oh, yeah, the Philly cheesesteak. And then when I finally tasted it, I was like, this is fucking garbage.
Okay. Oh, boy. Well, now that we pissed off the Northeast listeners, you know. Harper's just having fun with y'all. It's his job. But do me a favor. Hey, Doc, the call for 5-star reviews has worked. We are up to 78. So with that said, I have to give you some kudos for the suggestion of saying you would hold back Cornette promos until we got to 75. Well, we blew the doors off of that. We're at 78. So if you're listening now and you want to get a bonus show out of us when we get to 100, pause it. Go give us a 5-star review on iTunes and write some great comments for us, and we'd appreciate that. All right, thanks for coming back after and doing that in the 5-star review. We definitely appreciate it. Thank you very much. But, Doc, you hit the nail on the head, man. You called it, and the people responded.
Did they?
Yeah.
It was kind of slow. Hey, Harper, did you hear at all what happened on the show last week?
What happened?
Well, our top five last week may have been a top five for all times.
What was it?
You gonna tell them? I mean,
yeah.
Well, yeah. I thought maybe you'd jump in so it doesn't sound like it's so stilted and just we're all kind of just having a conversation here.
Yeah, we discussed the top five rat bangers in professional wrestling of all time.
Oh, God. Was it Flair?
Well.
Hold on. Not only was it Flair, but Bobby Blaze sat in, and it was Bobby Blaze and Mike and I all had the same top three.
Yes. So the top three were Flair, Ricky Morton, and Stan Lane. And then four and five, I had Tommy Rogers and Chris Adams. And then, Doc, who'd you have at four and five?
Lawler and Raven.
Yeah. And then, God, I forgot who Bobby had at four.
Bobby had Jake the Snake at four, and then an indie guy he knew up in Canada.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it was a very it took the cake, man. It was an interesting top five, to say the least, but we had a lot of fun doing it, most definitely.
Let me ask you this, because I have a feeling what I said earlier got edited out, so let me try to get something else. So we live in a world where Bray Wyatt's banging JoJo? Is that what I saw?
Yeah. I saw that. Allegedly.
I don't know that there's much allegedly. I believe Mrs. Bray Wyatt's filed for divorce.
Well, he's got good taste if that's a...
He's out kicking his coverage if that's the case.
Man. Wow. If that's...
You think, if... yeah?
That's... Whew. JoJo is a bad broad, man. Whew.
She's really, really young, too, huh?
She's like 23.
She's young, man. She's young, and I thought she was engaged. But evidently, not no married, and
that don't matter.
Yeah. Wrong.
speaking of top fives and attractive and sexy bras in wrestling, I did want to mention. First, I want to say thanks to Joe Stassi, Old School Pro Wrestling Lives, and the ICW's Outlaws of Pro Wrestling. Their page is on Facebook. Check them out. Go join them. But like I was saying, we just talked about JoJo and being a nice looking broad. Denim Fritz will love this discussion, but. What are the top five most attractive and sexy broads in wrestling history? And I got a feeling Doc is going to want to rename the actual top five. I said most attractive and sexy. Doc will say something like five broads he wants to bang in wrestling. But I'm going to keep it classy because there's a few people on my list who are married. So I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to get in any trouble, man. I respect these women.
I would just say that this is the top five women I would want to Harperize.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
My top five is the ones I wanted to Harperize when I was a kid.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I got a couple on my list that are... Well, I got one that I would say I really wasn't a kid, but I was...
So old enough to beat off. Let's just say that.
Well. Okay. For the second straight week, our top five is off to a hot start.
Well, Doc, can we do it a little...
No lockup, straight to the super kick.
Doc, can we do it a little different this time? Like,
you want to get pounded from behind? I don't understand.
Can we do it where I go, like, I give my five, like, we don't really give as much commentary. And then after we're done, we kind of add in some more commentary. That way we're not spending as much time on the list. That way we can get to Saturday night and not be here all night.
Well, I don't give a shit. All I'm telling you is I got some honorable mentions, too. I got a whole stable of bitches.
Of course you do. Okay. I'll give my five first and then hold back the commentary.
Let me see if I can guess.
Go ahead.
Dark Journey, Miss Jackie, Sasha.
That's close, actually. That's real close. Actually, I had Sasha Banks 1 through 5. And then my honorable mentions were Dark Journey and Jackie.
You're not taking this very seriously.
No, I'm just kidding. All right, so here's my five. Here's my five. I think I'll shock you a little bit. I got Brooke Tessmacher, number five.
That ass, right?
Oh, God. I got Sonny in her prime.
No
I
doubt.
I need to stress, in her prime.
No doubt.
At number four. Yeah. Yeah. Not sex tape, Sonny, right, Harper?
Right.
Where's
Yeah, right there, baby. Yeah, right there. Oh, you're almost there. Let's go to the finish. Come on.
Make some faces, damn it.
Show some facials. Sell that shit.
Okay. I got Alexa Bliss at three, actually. She's growing on me. She's growing on me. I got mostly current people here. I have Sasha at number two.
What?
And I have someone, and that's why I said this would shock you, but this chick used to make my freaking heart freaking flutter. Trish Stratus. Oh.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
There was something about Trish. I used to be like, oof, my lord. All right, so I didn't go through any honorables. Doc, give your five.
Okay.
We'll do honorables after.
Number five. Velvet Sky.
Damn, there you go.
See?
Whoosh.
Number four. Maria Kanellis Bennett.
I knew she'd be on your list.
Oh, God. Damn.
Yeah. Doc done jerked off in his office before over that one.
Wait a minute. Number three. Sonny.
There you go.
Hard to overstate how amazing she was in her prime in WWE. Yes. Number two, Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
And number one was really kind of a no-brainer. If she's good enough for Clooney, she's good enough for me. Give me Stacey Keibler.
I got her as an honorable. Stacey Keibler is a bad broad. I got to admit that. Harper, let's go through your five.
Okay. As a kid, I loved Missy Hyatt. Like, she used to give me a lot of un-Catholic-like thoughts as a kid.
Well, I'm not Catholic, and she gave me some non-Catholic-like thoughts.
And... Remember Hollywood from Glow?
No.
Who?
She was on Gorgeous Ladies of Fucking Wrestling.
Yeah, what about her?
She was one.
Wouldn't that be Glofa?
I don't know what the fuck it was. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I hadn't thought of her, but yeah, you know.
Yeah.
She gave you un-Catholic thoughts too?
Yeah, as a child. Oh, God, bro. But she used to wear that. She would dress like those fucking groupies for like Motley Crue or something with the big hair and all that. I was like, God, come here, girl.
How do you think she got that hair to stand up like that, though?
No, come on. Like in that movie? What was it?
Something about Mary.
Yeah. And then I had Velvet Sky.
See?
It's just something about her hair and dead ass.
Yep.
Not just the... She got a lot more than that.
Bubba Ray's knocking that out.
Well, good for him. I mean, yeah.
Talk about outkicking one's coverage.
Wow.
Hey, God, but fuck. You ain't lying about that shit. And Kimberly Page, when that freaking Playboy came out with fucking her in it, I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. And Sonny back in the day, bro. Like you said... have a poster of Sonny right above my fucking bed.
Yeah.
Back in the day, she was it, bro. God.
It sounds like Harper didn't leave his house for a few years.
Sounds like Harper harborized himself for years on end.
I did.
Oh, boy. Hashtag un-Catholic thoughts. That's what he said earlier.
I have a feeling there's lots of honorable mentions floating around, though. There's a lot of bad bitches that are still floating out there.
Well, I had, and tell me what y'all think about this, I had Missy as an honorable because Harper's right. When I was a kid, Missy, I mean, I remember looking at Missy going, God, she's sexy.
She had those tits.
I was like, why is she with this John Tatum loser when she could be with 11-year-old me?
Yeah. Yeah, I love Missy was goodness.
Yeah, I had
Missy. I also had woman, Nancy Sullivan.
Yeah.
Or Benoit. I had her in an honorable. I thought
there's some pictures of her with Sullivan in the 80s where she's wearing a bikini that doesn't have much material to it.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, I've seen him. I had Stacey Keibler, and then I had actually Taryn Terrell in my honorable.
Me too.
Yeah.
New Orleans, a piece of New Orleans ass.
So and honestly, I probably could have listed 10 more honorables because there's a lot in wrestling, and I just stopped there. So I got three
that hadn't been said yet.
Okay.
Nikki Bella.
Yeah. I'll take that. No doubt.
Probably caused a little bit of surprise that I didn't have this in my top five, but Stephanie McMahon.
I thought you would, because you're a sucker behind that one.
She was number six. And here's one back in the day. Beulah McGillicuddy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Forget your Kimberly Page Playboy. She did a spread in like Cherry or something else, like Hustler or something that was like Spread Eagle. And she got into wrestling when like Raven caught her hanging out with, remember Ron Gant, the baseball player? She was hanging out with him, and he like, I think Raven kind of came in and swooped in and got her over to ECW.
I remember that. That arc, that Playboy that Harper's talking about with Kimberly.
Whew. Yeah, man.
What about China's Playboy?
Okay.
Nice.
I'm not going to talk about her. Harper, you had any honorables?
I had Francine from ECW.
I could see that.
I have her autograph from when they had November to Remember here.
I remember that. I was at that show.
Yeah.
I know. I remember that like it was. That was a terrible pay per view. To be honest with you, they were going downhill by that point.
Did anybody have Miss Elizabeth?
As a child, she was very pretty, but when I watched the old stuff, now it's like, damn, she was skinny.
Yeah. She didn't do nothing for me.
Yeah, she had no meat on her bones. No, I was like, nah, you know. You pretty and all, but yeah, but you know, so's a fucking houseplant.
You pretty and all, but so's a houseplant. Okay,
was that those fake trees that guy from Craigslist wanted to get rid of a few weeks back?
Probably so.
What about Awesome Kong? No Awesome Kong.
Nah, she didn't make my list. She didn't make mine. You know what? You know who I had an honorable, actually, as I'm looking at it? Naomi.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
That trailer works for me, boy. Oof, she got a caboose on her. But, you know, that's...
No Nia Jax from you?
Nah.
I'll take that.
Nah. I think she's a pretty girl, man. I mean, she's pretty, but nah. I mean, you know, nothing wrong with her. I ain't got nothing against a woman with, like, meat on her bones, but, you know, she ain't my cup of tea. And that's that. All right. So there you go, everyone. That's two top fives in a row, back-to-back weeks, some crazy ones. I'd love to do that top five with Bobby Blaze, Doc. Can you imagine Bobby's?
Now, Bobby, I know this one personally, but I don't know her that way.
Yeah, right. You know how Bobby is. Okay. All right, y'all. Well, we're going to get into NWA. Real quick, I want to mention the YouTube channel. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. I've loaded all kind of stuff up in the past week, from old interviews to Smoky Mountain clips to some Mid-South clips that I'm sure you'll find interesting. Just some classic stuff along with our old interviews are up on there. Also, I put up on there I did snip the top five that we did with Bobby last week, and it is up on the YouTube channel. So you can check it out there if you listen to us on YouTube. And then let's get into NWA WCW from February 15th, 1986. I do want to say thanks to the Wrestling Palace, who sponsor us over in Traders Village in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Look them up on Facebook, The Wrestling Palace, and it can hook you up with
any of your wrestling memorabilia needs. All right, Doc, let's get into this. Harper, let's get into it. So we kick things off Saturday night. They open with a recap when Tully stole the belt at the end of the match from Dusty at the Superstars on the Superstation. Tony then throws us to the ring where it is Jimmy Valiant versus Ron Rossi. You know, Bobby Blaze said something last week about Jimmy Valiant that we've come to realize. He, for being a babyface, he does nothing but cheat, even with jobbers. He rakes the eyes and does everything else. And Jimmy Valiant does get the win. Doc, did you have anything from that match against Ron Rossi with Jimmy Valiant where he got the win?
No, sir.
Me either. Harper, anything?
No, he just like starts right from the beginning. Just fucking tears into him. It just beats the shit out of him, pins him.
Shucks and jives into the ring and rakes the eyes and then proceeds to be in a heel that gets cheered. So, maybe wrestling wasn't so different back then if you really think about it in that way. He just was a cartoon character, but whatever. We then go to a promo. It is J.J. Dillon and Tully Blanchard, and I'm going to play that for us right here. So here it is.
Tully Blanchard Enterprises, that looks good.
You better hope that David Crockett doesn't go on too many more special assignments, because you get left out here by yourself, you get a little bit tongue-tied. I'm listening to your commentary, and believe me, I listen to every word you say. You said the domino effect obviously did not work because Jimmy Valiant was out here still wrestling.
I said Jimmy Valiant is still around, but I know that is not your end result, what you want in the domino theory, but, you know, he's still wrestling.
Let me just point something out to you. Jimmy Valiant wrestled Ron Rossi today, and it took him 3 minutes and 48 seconds by my watch to secure a victory on television here. And it looked to me from the opening bell that Jimmy Valiant was fighting for his very life in there against Ron Rossi. If Tully Blanchard had been in there, Mr. Blanchard would have put him away somewhere between 12 and 14 seconds. So the point I make is that we have taken a lot of steam out of the boogeyman Jimmy Valiant. Okay. We've just reduced him to a mere shell of what he was. And yes, the domino theory is working. They're falling right down to the end of the line. I'm talking about the national heavyweight champion, Dusty Rhodes. It's just a matter of time. How long?
You know, Dusty Rhodes, JJ and I were sitting around talking the other day, and he knows how well I function under pressure. And the only pressure I've got, I'm used to having that championship belt, defending it every time I set foot in the ring, and that's pressure to walk back out with it. At Dusty Rhodes, 20-minute match, national television. I dropped you on your head, 22 minutes, I'd be the national heavyweight champion. So we took the belt and then sent it back across with the referee just as a reminder that you can be had, brother. Now, to put pressure under myself right now, I've given myself a time limit. At first, I thought 6 weeks. Then James J. said, you're better than that. You're better than that. 4 weeks. Well, Dusty Rhodes, within 4 weeks from today, I will have the National Heavyweight Championship around my waist. And out here at Dusty Rhodes, you will have nothing.
Tully Blanchard Enterprises, Tully Blanchard and James J. Dillon, we're coming right.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first, man. You got anything from it?
You know, last week I said I thought Tully and JJ's promo wasn't their best effort. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It just, you know, wasn't there. I thought this one was really good from both of them. I thought JJ's out there timing stuff and putting times to things and telling Shivani he needs Crockett because he's messing up. And then Tully is just like, you know, now you've got an angle because you got 4 weeks. You got a deadline. You got another prop, another storyline. So they're just, you know, they're working their angle on Dusty and the good guys and Valiant and getting titles and doing horseman like stuff.
Yep, I'm with you, Harper. You had anything?
I love how fucking JJ just basically he says the complete opposite of what just happened in a ring. It's like that's the perfect heel.
Sure is.
Yeah. You know, just if you believe it,
deny
it's fucking
what
true.
Yeah, deny right. what you see,
mm-hmm.
and say it didn't happen. There's almost spoiled some. There's something that's going to happen in Smoky Mountain in the next few months that the fact that they deny it is like, are you kidding me? We just saw it in plain sight, and they completely deny it. So yes, I agree 100%. It's true, Doc. Something I didn't notice was I was listening to the two-man power trip again, and Tully was on this week, and he talked about how him and Dusty, like how they worked so many matches against each other. I think they said something like, or Tully said something like, you know, me and Dusty worked each other more than like Dusty or Flair did. Or something to that effect. I can't remember 100%. So if I'm misquoting it, someone correct me. And I was thinking about that because, like, okay, so him and Dusty are going to be right back in a feud now. Because what did they say? Four weeks, was it, before he gets the belt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what they don't say here and what we picked up after this happened, but Tully and Dusty were in a feud last summer, I believe it was, in 85 as well. For the U.S. title. So it's funny how they just went away from it, and now they're going back to the feud. It worked back then, though, because, I mean, you could generate some real heat. I don't know. And then Tully made a good point. He's like, you know, you can't keep doing Dusty and Flair, Dusty and Flair. So, you know, we talk about Dusty and Flair a lot in the past and how they kept coming back to it, or it seemed like it went on forever. It kind of did, but they did take breaks, as you can see from this example. It's just we may not remember it that way. You know what I mean?
Well, and you can do things when guys know how to work and talk and create new personal issues.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I was just pointing that out because I'd heard that today, and it just kind of stuck in my mind.
I thought you hated wrestling. I thought you hated wrestling podcasts. You said that today.
Yeah.
I hate the current – okay, I'm not even going to say this because I don't want anybody getting mad at me. There are a select few that I listen to, and they all have to do with classic wrestling. Nothing current. I'm tired of hearing the same old interviews over and over on some shows. That's
right.
All I'll say. I'm not trying to badmouth anyone. I'm at the saturation point with certain people. I support, you know, Corny Show. I listen to that weekly, religiously. I support Brian Last of 605. I listen to the wrestling podcast about nothing. You threw me on the two-man power trip, and they got some really good, you know, old-school interviews. So, and it's stories that you don't generally haven't heard a million times already. So,
and you hate everyone else. I know.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. All right, we go from that promo to now it is Jim Cornette in the Midnight Express. Something that we've been holding back.
You can't play it yet. We got to get to 85 reviews before you play it.
No, sir. You said 75, and we're at 78.
No. I said 85.
Okay, well, you said 75, so here it is. Roll tape.
Jim Cornette is here with his World Tag Team Champions.
World Tag Team Champions.
I understand you have been fined $5,000 because of this. Is that true?
Yeah, I've been fined $5,000, and you know what it is to me? Nothing. It's a big deal, whoopee-ding. $5,000, Mama has already sent a check in the mail. No problem, because the World Tag Team Champions, they make about $500,000 a piece per year, so it's a good investment. $5,000, that's pocket change. You know, I told you about all the letters I've been getting from all the teeny boppers and like the Rock and Roll Express talking about what we did to them and everything. I got to wondering, what kind of mail does the Rock and Roll Express get? What do those little teeny boppers send to the Rock and Roll? So I caught their back turn, and I went and I snuck in the mailbag, and you know what I found? I found a whole bunch of stack of letters, got all the good ones, and one of the girls that wrote to the Rock and Roll sent a picture of herself. Bobby, Dennis, help me with this. This is a picture of one of the girls that was writing to the Rock and Roll Express. A big fat cow. That's all you got. Get a good shot of it. That's all you got writing to you, Rock and Roll, because you're a couple of nappy-headed, geeky-looking little twerps. The pretty girls write to the real men, the champions, the Midnight Express, a couple of real macho men, just like I am. That's who the real pretty girls write to, the World Tag Team Champions, what we took away from you, Rock and Roll, and now you got nothing except a bunch of fat, ugly cows cheering for you. And, Tony, on TV right here today, you know, the Rock and Roll, they were so scared they'd never defend the belts, especially on TV, national TV, in front of 20 million people. Well, the World Tag Team Champions, the Midnight Express, they are defending the belts on television right here today against a great team, the pride of the USA, Don Kernodle. He used to hold half of the World Tag Team title.
Right, you're right.
And the big, 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 big cowboy from Texas, Big Outlaw Ron Bass. That's who we're going to defend the titles against right here on television today. And we're going to show everybody that we are indeed fighting champions. Ladies and gentlemen, your champions of the NWA, the greatest tag team that there's ever been in professional wrestling and rock and roll. Hey, Bobby, why don't we take and put that up on the wall, or maybe
put it under the sink to keep the roaches away. Rock and roll, we'll say hello to all the girls that used to cheer for you now that they're cheering for a couple of real men, a couple of champions, and allowed to say three real men, because I'm about as macho as they are, and I'm certainly a lot more man than the Rock and Roll Express. Right. Let's go train, boys.
There they are. You heard it today for the World Tag Team.
Oh, boy, that shit was funny, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He rolled out that pit, that big poster, that big fat bra with a two-piece.
So am I the only one, fans out there, that thought that Harper and Menace would fight over that big broad? They like them thick, you know.
I know.
There's a difference between thick and obese.
Fat. Yes.
Yes. That broad was obese.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a difference. There is a difference. I just found it funny, man, because when I posted the video of
I'm sure there's some good pussy under all that gut.
That's nice.
I remember like a month or so ago, I posted that video of the Win a Date with the Rock and Roll Express, and standing next to Ricky Morton is this big old fat broad with little bitty boobs. And at the Eye of Gibson tweeted to me and said, yeah, look, he even liked, talking about Ricky Morton, he's like, he even liked the fat ones back then. And so they jarred back and forth on Twitter from what I saw in this conversation. And so I laughed because I was like, was Corny like, did he get an idea from that old Win a Date with the Rock and Roll where they had the fat broads in the ring with them? I mean, I don't know if he did or didn't, but I just thought it was funny, man. I thought it was a good promo overall. So,
easy, like a simple line at the end. Let's go train.
Yeah, simple line. I agree. Anything else, Doc, from that one?
From the promo or the match?
The promo.
No.
Okay. Harper, you got anything?
The thing I was thinking was, that's not a real poster. It can't be. And I was thinking, who is this woman that they got? Hey, sweetheart, this is what we're going to pay you, a couple hundred, you know, $100 or whatever. Just stand there in his bikini, and then we're going to take a picture of you. It's like, fuck, man. That's real classy.
Where'd they find her?
Yeah, for real.
And I bet you they didn't tell her we're going to put this shit on TBS so that everybody can see it. She was a big one too, boy. Jeez. Talk about a whale. Woof. Woo-hoo.
Was she about a biscuit shy of 300 pounds?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a half a biscuit with a pat of butter on it shy of 300. That was a big one. I'm sure at Fake Stan Lane, at the Eye of Gibson, at Mullet of Morton will comment on that one. I can already see the Twitter comments from that. Well, we'll go to the next match. If you heard, while Corny's cutting that promo, there's a lot of like noise in the background. It's because
I hate that.
It's because the fans are chanting Onion Head at Baron von Raschke.
Yeah.
No.
And they wouldn't stop.
Oh.
They were just Onion Head, Onion Head. It wasn't even a slow chant; it was a quick one. And then they were yelling Weasel, obviously, for Paul Jones. But Von Raschke got the win. But they did not shut up with that Onion Head chant. So Doc, I'll throw it to you first.
I was just like, I don't know if that's some sort of saying that I don't know. Usually, I know a lot of weird sayings, but I don't know that I've ever heard that. Uh-oh. My other note here is that I thought Baron was interesting with the Russians, but not as much with Paul Jones.
I agree with that. He beat Kent Glover. What did you have, Harper, from that?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. When he was with the Russians, it seems there was more spice to him.
Yep.
And then now he's just another one. He's an old heel.
Yeah, I agree. And then, like, y'all, as y'all say that, so we go to the promo after he gets the win versus Kent Glover, and it's Paul Jones, and he's introducing T.J. Khan. And I'm not going to play it because it's Paul Jones mostly talking, but, like, I'm watching that now 30 years later, and I go, it's like Paul Jones is organizing the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's really any other way that I could explain it. Maybe, you know, the 11-year-old version of me was buying this a little bit more, but T.J. O'Conn looking kind of crazy in the camera the whole time. I was like, okay, when's this over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Baron sounds like Mongra from the fucking Thundercats.
Oh, I vaguely remember that cartoon. What were you about to say, Doc?
Okay. I'm going to start this off with the line that everybody says when they're about to do something. I'm not trying to be racist.
What?
But how many people from Southeast Asia have eyes shaped like that?
Bro, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, thinking of all the countries, why Singapore?
I didn't want to go there, so I didn't say it.
I guess but Doc, people are so stupid they don't know that Singapore is in fucking Asia.
I think it's safe to say the Southern wrestling audience, not everyone, not 100%, but I would say there's a healthy percentage. There you go. A healthy percentage that didn't cross their mind, Harper.
No.
Yeah. Doc, was that your only point there?
Yeah, it's not racist because I didn't say they're inferior to the white man like Harper might say.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, there we go. That's racist.
I'm just saying that most, right, but most Asians don't have eyes shaped like a honky.
Well, we go from the promo to a match. It's the Barbarian versus Paul Garner. Barbarian wins if we didn't think he would. We then go to a promo. It's Jimmy Valiant, who just did a line, and he gets through it. Mercy Daddy. Yeah, you know how Jimmy does. And then we go to another match, and we got our old friend Ray Traylor back in there versus Tully Blanchard. And I do want to kind of keep an eye on this and track this because I don't remember this as much when I was a kid. I remember him doing the enhancement talent matches, but we need a track. I don't think this is the last time we see him before they pull him off of TV for a while. And he ends up with Cornette and the Midnight Express, but I'm trying to remember, like, the last time he actually works a match, and then they're like, nah, we're going to keep you off TV. We're going to put you with the Cornette and the Midnight. So, but obviously, Tully gets the win here. Doc, did you have anything from the match?
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting match because you can – because you know what Ray Traylor becomes, you can see the spark of maybe what Dusty saw in him, that there's something there. But, I mean, obviously, Traylor needs a haircut. He needs to be repackaged. He's kind of just – his presentation is kind of blah.
Yeah.
He's still enhancement talent. But you can see the spark of something there, and he's a big dude. And I was really – you know, I kind of popped when Tully – put the slingshot on him, because we've talked about what is he going to do when he gets a bigger guy, and there's your bigger guy, and he put it on him.
Yeah, Ray's a big dude. You use the momentum from the ropes too, and if you got a guy who's you got him up there and he knows what he's doing, you'll definitely be able to get him over. I would agree, Doc, before I throw it to Harper. That is a perfect example of not only a guy, I guess, maturing into a wrestler, but how ring gear sets him apart. Because I mean, you put him in that big boss man outfit, and I mean, look how much different he looks versus just singlet. I mean, he's like a different dude. So it's completely different.
Completely different.
Yeah.
He was just so much bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a different persona, career. It's just the whole thing. You could probably show a video to a 12-year-old right now of this match. And then right after, show him a video of a big boss man match, and there's a 50% probability that kid would not even realize it's the same person. I mean, we do because we know the history of it, but at that point, yeah, well, you show that to a kid, they may not know the difference. You know, a 10-year, I said 12, maybe a 10-year-old. So okay,
we're industry insiders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, you are. Harper, maybe.
Harper's popping the internet wrestling community these days. Shit.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, Harper. You got over that Philly crowd, man. You did something, dude.
That's
a hard cookie to crack. So.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, that's a different animal up there, man. Okay, yes, we go to a We go to a promo. It is Tony Schiavone and Jim Crockett. Doc, this is pretty significant. I'm not going to play it. The only reason I say it's significant is because they announced a new world title, but they don't show it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about here is because you're not watching with us or you don't have the network, they actually announce the big gold that we come to know after the old NWA title with the globe is, I guess, put away for a while. And they announced the Crockett Cup. And I thought it was funny here because this is February and a Crockett Cup is coming up pretty quickly in 2 months. And they say, we're going between Greensboro, Charlotte, and maybe Atlanta. And there's no mention of where the Crockett Cup actually ends up being that year. So I thought that was just interesting there, only because we know that it ended up being in New Orleans. Doc, did you have anything from that promo just based on the significance of the title announcement?
The title with the world belts on, with the flags on it, was the best championship belt of all time. So you don't need to replace that shit.
Yeah, why they do that?
Because they're stupid idiots.
That's a good question. I would love to know the actual answer to that.
Because that's going to keep Vince from taking us over nationally.
Did they think that it was did someone go, you know what, that old NWA one, it just looks too Southern, or it doesn't have the character, or not character, but it doesn't have the bling or the flash. Is that what it was? I don't know. I'm asking. Because, you know, you got to remember at this time period, I think Vince had gone through a couple of title belt looks too by that point. Because the green belt that Hogan had was gone. And then they went through a couple of incarnations. The Wing Eagle, I don't think that debuted for...
The Wing Eagle came in when he beat Andre.
Not when Hogan beat Andre.
Yeah, when Hogan beat Andre, that's when they gave him the Wing belt because they needed a new belt, something that could fit around Andre.
No.
If he wanted like that. Are you sure?
I don't think so. Yeah. They actually had a special belt made for Andre when he had the title. But I think the Winged Eagle was at... Someone's going to tweet me. Doc's looking it up because I know how he works.
Oh, I'm not. I don't give two shits about this WWE nonsense. I'm still bad about them replacing the best world title of all time.
Okay, I think the Winged Eagle...
I mean, just with that fucking globe. The globe alone just makes it such a unique belt.
I agree. The NWA world title with the globe was... to me, the best, if not the best, one of the best belts ever. I think the Wing Eagle, to close that discussion, somebody will tweet us, but I think that was when they did the tournament for the WWE title at that point, WWF title. So that was
WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, that was after the Hogan Andre, the first Hogan Andre match in the Silver Dome. So, all right, well, what the fuck ever with WWE. All right, so let's keep it moving. I agree, Doc. I didn't hate the big goal, but I will be honest with you, just the fact that they got rid of the old NWA title wasn't my thing. All right, we go from that to a match. It's Ronnie Garvin versus Art Pritz, and God almighty, I did not realize this as a kid, and I've said it before, Ronnie Garvin consistently tied people up in a pretzel every week on TBS. He's got Pritz twisted up in a pretzel at one point again, and the fans are chanting, "Break it, Ronnie, break it." I've actually
baby
got
baby fans.
Now, hold on. I've got it queued up because I want you to listen. Try not to laugh because you will laugh watching it. They chant, "Break it." And then when he hits the guy with it, it's about a 20-second clip. And then when he hits the guy with his punch, you'll hear some guy about a second or two after go, "Sit on him." So that's the reason I clipped it. So here it is. Listen to it real quick. Like I said, it's about a 25, 30-second clip. Here it is.
To that belt, we encourage you to just take a look at it. I've never really seen one trophy for one man so spectacular in my life. Understand it's made of gold, silver, diamonds, rubies.
Okay, he's about to pick him up and shoot
right now,
him
off. Garvin slapping Pritz. Obviously, he's upset at the man. Into the ropes he goes, and right to the punch. He shouldn't get up from that. And he won't.
It's kind of faint, but did y'all hear it?
Yeah.
Sit on him, Ron! So Ronnie Garvin does his every week sit down and put his nuts on the guy's chin. And He won the match. Doc, you got anything from the match?
Man, once Bobby kind of pointed it out last week, I watched this match a little bit differently. You could just see that the holds that he was applying, and it just, he, like you said, they had that guy tied up like a pretzel, and it didn't look fun. And I just wonder if the job guys in the back would come in and see their name on the whiteboard and go, God damn it, I don't want to wrestle that motherfucker.
I think the only good part of it was that they were tend to be quick matches, but man, he would tie them up in knots.
What so quick matches? Shit, I want to wrestle Magnum.
I agree.
Yeah, really.
Harper, you had anything from the match?
Yeah, they had to suck. I mean, like what fucking Doc said, I could picture the fucking jobber guy, just some shithead that's got a mullet with his fucking gym bag, with his gear coming in, looking at the board, be like, fuck, Garvin.
You know what? We're getting ready to talk about this same principle this week when we talk about Smoky Mountain, and instead of Ron Garvin, the name is Kevin Sullivan.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah.
You're going to speak on this, aren't you, Mike?
Yeah, Kevin Sullivan does something, and I'm like, that's not right. I mean, I like Kevin Sullivan. I'm a fan of his. I think him and his podcast, I like what he speaks of. What he does to poor Jeff Daniels in an episode that's coming up in a few weeks is just brutal. I mean, there's no other way
to
say it.
It is savage.
I don't think it's right at all. Like, I would look at it and go, what the hell were you thinking when you did that to that dude? Like, that's just not right. So, yeah, we'll talk about it. If you're watching ahead in Smoky Mountain, it's in, like, the mid-40s, 47, 48 or something like that. It's pretty damn brutal, though. Well, Ronnie Garvin gets the win, he goes to a promo. And, Doc, did you want to hear this?
I was drunk when I watched this, and I'm sober now, okay. So I can't quite remember. But I want to say that this was actually not too bad out of Ronnie.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's all right. So I'll play it because we don't have a lot more to get through. So here it is.
1986, you wouldn't let the fans down. You were going to get that world heavyweight title belt. You may have seen that new belt that Ric Flair now has, and that really makes it even more of an inducement to get that belt around your waist.
You said it right, Tony. You know, Ric Flair and I are on a collision course, and I've known this for some time, and I know Ric Flair knows it. The whole world knows it. It's going to happen. You see, when two trains are about to collide, there's no telling. Somebody's got to go off the track. Somebody's got to back down. Well, I'm not going off the track. I'm not going to back down. Ric Flair, I want what you got around your waist. With all due respect for your ability as a wrestler, not as a human being, but as a wrestler, I do respect your ability because you're probably the toughest man I've ever faced. But you and I will meet. We'll look at each other in the eye, and I don't care where it's at. Might be St. Louis, might be Greensboro, might be Cleveland, Buffalo, New York. It don't matter where it's at, you see. Because when we step into that ring, we're going for that $35,000 worth of gold you got around your waist and all the prestige. So we can sit here, you can sit out here and talk about all your women, custom made from head to toe. I'm not custom made, but I'm man. All man from head to toe. And that, Ric Flair, you will find out when I step into the ring. No matter where it's at.
Ronnie Garvin looking right at the world champion and that brand new belt.
Yeah, I thought that was good too.
I think that may be the best promo we've heard from him, whether it was Smoky Mountain in 92 or 85, 86 NWA. That may be his best one.
It was definitely good. Harper, what did you think?
Yeah, I think this was probably his the best I fucking heard him, man. I love when he says he may not be custom made, but he's all man.
That's a great line. Great baby face line for 1986.
Yeah.
It sure is. And you know, Bobby Blaze brought something to our attention last week too, Doc, related to Garvin and just the promos. We kind of get pulled in by the I guess brashness and the loudness of Rick and Arn sometimes. But he was talking about, you know, how a lot of times Ronnie would bring it down a notch and
you just got to really listen to him and to see what he's saying. It's just not always rah-rah. And I think that was a good point, because sometimes we're kind of hard on some of the guys who just don't raise it up a notch. But it's true. You can't always just raise it up a notch and be screaming and yelling. That's just not some guy's style. I mean, even Ricky Morton, he's not yelling a lot of times. He might be loud, but he's not yelling to get his point across. So, I don't know. I thought that was good from Garvin. He's real low. Did you notice something, too? He worked the match, even though it was an enhancement talent match, and he wasn't blown up. Did you catch that?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Unlike somebody we know. Tim Horner. Okay. All right, Doc, we got another Cornette promo. So we promised the great listeners of the BTT Army, hashtag BTT Army on Twitter. We promised them Cornette promos when we got to 75. So here it is. Here's a Cornette promo.
World Championship Wrestling continues, and we have a match coming
up. Shut up. Let me tell you something. I heard Jimmy Crockett out here talking, and I heard what you said. Yeah, Jim Crockett is trying to get my tennis racket banned. Well, let me tell you something, Crockett. You can try all you want to try, but the plain fact of the matter is my constitutional right. The right to bear arms, the right to personal freedom and privacy, and besides that, Mother gave it to me, and it's my security blanket. It takes care of me while she's not around. So, Crockett, if you were going to get your way, evidently you would have got it by now, wouldn't you? But let me tell you something. You get on the wrong side of the Cornette family, we'll be holding the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup in my mama's living room, because it's big enough. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you now the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the greatest team in professional wrestling today, Loverboy Dennis and beautiful Bobby the Midnight Express.
God, that music. I don't know why I let it go. I love when Cornette said, I have a right to bear arms. No one's taking like my tennis racket.
I like it when he just walked on the scene telling him to shut up.
Yeah.
Simple.
True too. Very simple. It's a quick one too. Very simple though.
Yeah.
Cornette's funny when he says that. When you think about all of the talk he has on his podcast nowadays with gun ownership and whatnot, he's like, it's my constitutional amendment. It's a right to bear arms. It's a tennis racket, corny. I just love that. I love that line. I thought that was great. Harper, do you have anything else?
Yeah, and I love what he says. It's his security blanket for when his mom was. That around.
That was an awesome line, too.
Cordy's great, man. He really is. Well, we go from the promo to a match. It's the Midnight Express versus Ron Bass and Don Kernodle. Bass and Kernodle really take the Midnight Express to the limit, and the only reason the Midnight Express retain the belts is because Corny uses his racket on Bass, who had the claw on Dennis Condrey. And I thought, and they got DQ'd. I thought it was just a great old-school territory-style wrestling match. I know you can't do a lot of what they did now because the people who like the whole Spot Monkey things and Spot Monkey fans probably will be like, oh, no, that was boring, but I thought it was good. Kernodle and Bass, just so you know, they did work a match on Worldwide that week, and they won in the same week this aired, so they had them tagging more than just here. But I thought it was a good match, and overall, I mean, it was definitely a long one, but Doc, what'd you have?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. I thought, you know, it wasn't spectacular in the sense that, oh my God, this is the greatest match I've ever seen. But I was entertained throughout. I never thought that the baby faces were going to win, but who cares? It was an entertaining match, and everybody in there was doing their job. I did have a question, and it was kind of midway through the match, or maybe a little bit closer to the end. But did Ron Bass kick out of Bobby Eaton's finisher?
Yeah, I was wondering why. On a one count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a good answer for that one. I don't know what this. That's one of those. I don't know what to say. Yeah.
You go ahead.
No, it's just one of those reasons why the old timers need to say, "Back in my day, we never," because "never" is not a word you want to use.
I think a lot of times people just say that. I mean, the old-timers have a point when they say it because it didn't happen 5 million times a match. I mean, look, this happened one time right here on a Saturday night. I mean, we're not talking, you know, 6 times on one pay-per-view. I understand their point, but no, it makes sense. It happened. What can you do? So, I agree. Anything else, Doc?
No, that's a good match.
Yeah, good one. Harper, what about you?
Yeah, I was thinking they were trying to make Ron Bass look really, really strong because he kicked out from that leg drop, and then both of them jumped on top to try to pin him, and he kicked out of them too. So I don't know if they're trying to make him look super strong or what.
Well, they did. Because he's going to try to get the $10,000 in the strength contest with the Barbarian.
Yeah, that angle's. Yeah, that.
So they're working kind of. They're working two different things with that.
Yeah, and then like I said, they tag on Worldwide that same week. I forget who they tagged against, but Bass and Kernodle did win. They got a win. So I think there's something to that where they were trying to make them look strong. Right there. So that match happens, and then they go to a match where it's a promo with we haven't heard from Ricky and Robert talking in a while, so we got Ricky and Robert right here cutting a promo after the match we just saw.
Cornette. Every time, Tony, it seems like Jimmy Cornette comes out here with this record. But let me tell you something, Cornette, and I'd like to say something to Mr. Jim Crockett. We appreciate you coming out here and fighting Jimmy Cornette. $5,000. But Jimmy Cornette, you said you didn't care about $5,000. But you look at the Rock and Roll Express. We don't care about the $5,000 either, baby. But what we want to do is we're going to settle this situation in our own way. We want to sell it in our own self because we're all getting together. I'm talking about the American Dream. I'm talking about Magnum TA. We're going to handle this situation, Jimmy Cornette, ourselves. Because you can run and you can hide, but sooner or later, the Rock and Roll Express is going to get right down to you.
Okay, here's the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
These men don't need nobody. Like they said, everybody stay out their business. I'm not getting in their business. We know that Jim Cornette is going to be put in a cage somewhere. I got a present for my boys here.
Okay, got a present for you.
Right here, boys, is the Betty Lou. When I found Betty Lou a few years ago in San Francisco, California, it was being used in a place where things were done, and it was kind of kinky, you understand? So right now, what I'm going to tell you is, it's got a hook on the top. You put Cornette in this cage, they'll take it 80 feet in the ceiling, anywhere in the world, and he'll be out of your hair. Betty Lou belongs to y'all. Thank you, Dusty. Woo! Betty Lou is coming out tonight. Let me say one thing, though. Jimmy Cornette, we told you, you can run. You can run anywhere you want to. But from now on, you belong to the Rock and Roll Express. Because sooner or later, baby, we're going to come down. And we're going to come down hard.
Woo! You, Dusty. All right. Teddy Lou, the cage, is now the property of the Rock and Roll Express. More right after this time.
What the hell? Oh, yeah, Dusty. Yeah. Go ahead, Doc.
Just wonder how much truth there is in that from Dusty. I'm a little afraid to find out. But I mean, if you take out Jim Crockett Promotions and put in Bob Armstrong, that same promo could have been cut in 1992 in Smoky Mountain, and it would have still been good.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, most definitely. Harper, did you have anything from it?
I tell you, man, that fucking skull jacket. That
you took my thunder. I was going to say it.
Bruh. I want one. That is badass.
Sure as shit was.
Harper stole my thunder. I was going to mention the skull jacket. Yeah, that skull jacket. And you know what? The note that I made, man, I'm not trying to run off our NASCAR listeners because I know we got fans who listen to NASCAR or watch NASCAR to this day. Fuck. Here we go. But there's nothing more southern wrestling than Dusty showing up with a skull jacket on TBS Saturday night. I mean, that just, it screams southern wrestling. Skull. Yeah, so boy, that was a good one. I love that jacket. I want one, Harper.
Yeah, for real, man.
Give me one. So, okay. Well, so Dusty was just out there. Well, we got another promo that follows like directly after this, and it is Dusty and Baby Doll. And I'm just going to say this right now. I don't know what the hell Dusty's talking about here, but I'm going to play it. Putting that on record.
Tell you what, just when you think Jim Cornette's going to have his way, out steps the American Dream. Now, I'm sure you heard what Tully Blanchard had to say. They say 4 weeks until they have that title.
Well, Tully Blanchard's got a way of saying a lot of things that don't take place, you know. And he said, when I take the title in 4 weeks from Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, you won't have anything. Well, one thing that he has forgot about is for a year and a half, there was somebody that took care of his ever needs, led him down the right path, and on two different occasions gave him two major titles in this country. And now I have, see, a man don't own no women in this country, you understand? Women are now right equal to par with everybody else anywhere, and I love the ladies. And my main lady right here, Dolly, takes care of the American Dream now. Ian Anderson is very simple. Week in and week out, we come out here on this television without a doubt, and we talk about the world's television title. We talk about you having it and you never beating Dusty Rhodes McAfee. That's very simple. The facts are, it's just very easy. And laid up somewhere in Wisconsin, unable to compete, unable to make a profit for his family, unable to really be anything but a laid up Ole Anderson, your cousin, you have forgot about that. Baby doll come out and she told you on nationwide TV, she told you on every television throughout this country, said, Ian Anderson, you're next. It's simple. It's easy. Read between the lines. And Tully Blanchard, 20 minutes, put me on my noggin. It takes more than one of them to keep the American Dream down. You take heed. How many times I got to come out here and spread the rumors that you're going to do something and you're going to get Dusty Rhodes Day in 4 weeks, today, anytime, come on and get it. And Ric Flair, in this vast kingdom of the world, Ric Flair, there's only room for one king. And I will rule as long as I want. And that pretty little lady from Alabama over there, that pretty little lady from Alabama in the brown, I love her to death, baby. There ain't no doubt about it.
Let's go back to the ring.
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know. What's that chick from Alabama got to do with anything?
I don't know. It's like Dusty was... We don't say this much about Dusty, but he went from talking about a woman don't belong to no man. Well, even though Dusty, when he came out and said baby doll, said, don't you mess with her. She belongs to me now. So, but whatever. I don't know what he's talking. Like he was real sporadic. Like he was in a couple of different places there, and I was like, I watched it two or three times. I was like, what is he talking about? You know, Doc, you're the psychologist here. You're the PhD guy. Well, can you make heads or tails of it?
I think he was just trying to get in a bunch of different points in a short amount of time, and was just rolling and bullshitting. And
you
maybe
think that's what it was.
And maybe it's just a fan that he knows, a super fan, a Beulah Bush that was there from Alabama, and he was giving her a shout out.
I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm talking about the content before all that.
He was talking about getting Rick's title and how Tully wasn't going to get the belt. And Ole was jacked up and laid up. And that Baby Doll helped Tully get belts. I got all of that. Well, you need a Q-tip or something, you dense motherfucker?
Okay. All right. Harper, you were like me, though. Kind of like, what?
Huh? Yeah, for real.
I speak Dusty. I speak Dusty.
You speak Dusty. You speak idiot is what you speak. Don't disrespect the Dream. We went from Dusty's promo, Rock and Roll Express versus Larry Clark and Bob Owens. Rock and Roll win with a double drop kick. No surprise here. Doc, you got anything from that one?
No.
All right. Harper, anything?
Okay.
And then we go to Ivan and Nikita. I am going to play it because of Ivan. And let's hear what Ivan and Nikita have to say. And this is pretty relevant in the storyline. I may stop it when Nikita starts mumbling, but Ivan's part is good. So here it is.
This trophy, as you well know by now, indicative of the world's six-man tag team champions, two-thirds, Ivan Koloff and Nikita Koloff, and I should say, looking very dapper.
This is right. You know, I have a message from Crusher Khrushchev. To you, Paul Devlin, Road Warriors, the leg is healing very fast. He's looking forward to coming back and avenging himself against you. You know, the fact is, we did what we were going to do. We said we were going to do by leaving you laying on our first encounter. Now you think you have the advantage inside the cage or double chain match or six man? No, this is our type of match. We excel at this. We are looking forward to it. You Americans out there, Magnum TA going around saying he's the United States heavyweight champion. This is a lie. Let's go back in history. Nephew Nikita, myself, we're at Starcade. We never heard Tully Blanchard say I quit because he never said it. You are a liar and you are a cheat. How much you pay promoters? How much you pay NWA to keep United States belt? Yes, you are a liar and a cheat, Magnum T.A. The fact is, Nikita, my nephew, is the uncrowned United States Heavyweight Champion, and not you. Yes, all the Americans know. All Russia knows, the Soviet Union, the Kremlin knows that American TV is strong over here in America. Millions and millions of people watch it. NWA, Jim Crockett Promotion, highest rating ever, professional wrestling. Why? Because of nephew Nikita, because of the Kolar family. Everybody wants to watch us come out here. Because of this, the Kremlin has ordered nephew Nikita not to wrestle anymore after today on television until this coward, Magnum T.A., signed a contract to wrestle Nikita on television for United States Heavyweight Championship. And you, Dusty Rhodes, you better keep your nose out of our business or you'll have more than broken leg, Nikki.
I'm not listening to Nikita.
Whatever whatever he just said there was no, not you talk about being what Dusty said. Jesus Christ!
And he goes on the mumble right there. It's just like, oh Jesus. I wanted to play it because I thought Ivan had me cracking up laughing when I was watching it because he's talking about they've been in touch with the Kremlin and the Kremlin says Nikita's drawing the ratings and the Kremlin says this is Nikita's last time on TV and he's not the Kremlin says he's not wrestling anymore until he gets a title shot at Magnum's title. I thought that was great talking about the goddamn Kremlin. We may as well start building some freaking Russian heels again based on what's going on in the world these days.
Yeah, I know.
It would certainly mix in with the political environment.
Too bad they didn't lean into that Rusev and Lana thing like they had going, huh?
Rusev comes across too much as a babyface, to be honest, in my opinion, but I think you'd need a Russian heel right now in pro wrestling. I think it could work if it was done right in the right promotion. But needless to say, I mean, here we are back then, and I just thought Ivan was on point with that whole Kremlin comment. Doc, did you have anything? Nah, look, I think we can all agree Nikita is just gibberish. Anything else from that based on Ivan's part, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, I really like, again, just like Tully said, 4 weeks. Ivan comes in and says he's not wrestling on, get a good look, he ain't wrestling on TV anymore. They got to do something to build up angles because they're not working to a pay-per-view every month. Their next pay-per-view, real pay-per-view, or big extravaganzas in the summer, and we're still in February, so they got to do shit.
Yeah.
This is part of it.
That's how it was done back then, which was, you know, I ain't complaining in the least bit.
Right, right.
We then go from that, to Magnum TA match. I'm sorry, Harper, did you have anything about Ivan?
I just loved it how he brought up the Starcade. How he's a liar and a cheat and paid off the NWA to be the fucking champion.
And Starcade was 4 months ago at this point.
Right. Right, and it's still bringing that fucking old shit up.
Oh, 3 months ago, I should say.
Why you gotta bring up old shit?
Dude, you know 3 months in today's like world of wrestling is like a year.
It's like 10 years. Yeah, for real, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the times, it's just crazy how quick it goes. But I mean, we didn't talk about this earlier, but when Tully and JJ were out there, they're still yelling, I quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's not even in a feud with him anymore. You know, Magnum then moved on to freaking Nikita now. Oh, boy. That's good old days. All right, so we go from that promo. It's Magnum versus Lee Peek. And guess what? We got another 25-second match with Magnum where Magnum just wins belly to back it's nothing.
Hold on. How long did you say? Because I got the exact time.
I didn't actually time it. I thought it was about 25, though.
36 seconds.
Okay, I was way off. Wow.
Marathon. Broadway.
That's long. That's a long match. Jesus. God, man. Magnum went Broadway on that one, huh? Good God. 36 seconds. That's a long time. What the hell? Okay. So anything else from that one, Harper?
You're on mute, son.
No.
Oh, okay. There he is. I was like, did I lose you? Jesus. Okay. So then Magnum is gonna cut a promo here, so here it is.
Until he gets a shot for your title on TV.
Well, frankly, maybe I'd be doing the whole wrestling world a favor if I never wrestled Nikita Koloff on television. Because personally, I'm sure the people out there don't like seeing him any more than I do. But you don't have to take too close a look at me to see this battle's kind of taking its toll on me. Yeah, there's a lot of damage being done to me, but not just by Nikita Koloff. I'm up against the whole family. Every time I go to the ring, there's Ivan Koloff there. Never know if Baron Von Rasch is going to show up somewhere. But Nikita, you look at me real close. I won that title all by myself. Nobody gave it to me. I beat Tully Blanchard 1, 2, 3. I made him quit. That's why I'm the champion. Now, if you are half the man you say all you Russians are, you can get this done all by yourself. Now, if you want the one-on-one title match, that's fine. Here on television, I don't care where it's at. If you want a tag team match, the American Dream's always at my side. America's team is standing strong. So you and Baron, you and Ivan, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not handing that title over to anybody without a fight. You'll have to use that Russian sickle a lot better than you've been doing it, because you're going to put me out for good. I'm not giving that title up. And not you or any other Tommy is going to put me down and take that title back to Russia.
Magnum T.A., the U.S. heavyweight champion, back with our match for the world television title.
He called him a commie.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet that Magnum T.A. went into a voting booth last November and voted for somebody who sold us out to a commie. But hey, what do I know?
There you go. You got to get the politics in. You can't resist, can you? You have to just, there you go. Politics. Boy, you just missed the politics. You know shots what? Fired. You should have ran shots. For president. You know it all.
Well, shots fired, you know.
You just always got to talk. You can't avoid it. You see, you can't avoid it. Anyway, god damn. All right, so back to wrestling, because we are a politics-free zone. It's just too divisive, so whatever. We go to a big, long match with Arn Anderson versus Sam Houston for the Mid-Atlantic Championship. And I just realized I skipped over Harper because you threw me off with the politics. Harper, do you have anything for Magnum's promo?
Nah, you can keep going.
Okay. Arn versus Sam Houston, Mid-Atlantic. Sam Houston is the Mid-Atlantic champ. His belt is not on the line. This is for the world title. So we got champion versus champion, but only one belt on the line. It's a good competitive match for me, at least I thought, between the two. And I like the finish. Sam Houston misses a crossbody, flies into the rope sideways. Arn drops a knee on him and wins. They portrayed it as a struggle where Arn had the claw for the win, and he doesn't, he doesn't even use his finisher, the Gourd Buster. I thought it was a good competitive match. I was fine with it. I liked when they had matches like this on Saturday night where it wasn't just jobber matches, or enhancement talent. Doc, what did you think about it?
I liked the little thing that the little psychology they use at the beginning where Arn was like, "All right, let me hold the rope so you can get out of here, so I don't have to hurt you." And then when Sam made his comeback, he did it to Arn, and Arn got mad. I thought that was a nice little feature of the match. And again, I don't know, it's weird. I guess it's because I'm used to seeing somebody actually get, you know, a Death Valley driver from the 14th floor. But just to see Sam jump in the ropes and fall down and get pinned was kind of weird. But I was okay with it for sure.
Yeah, it was wrestling back then. Harper, right. Anything?
Yeah, this I just really enjoyed watching this match. They fucking told a story.
Yep.
Fucking worked on this fucking arm.
Yeah.
And that flying crossbody into the ropes was fucking awesome. It'll be fucking nice to see someone do that shit now.
Yeah, I the note that I made was specific to that because Sam really made it look like that shit.
He was fucked up. Yeah.
Yes.
He jumped into those ropes and he reacted like those ropes were electrified.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, those ropes don't feel good. It's hitting them with your back is one thing. I mean, you can feel that, and it's like your back eventually toughens up. But flying into him face first is kind of dangerous in a way. Because if you hit something wrong or your face wrong into that steel, that's a freaking cable in that thing.
Yeah.
It's got very little padding on it. And it can, I mean, I saw a dude break his nose one time going through one diving because he just dove wrong and hit the freaking rope. So, I mean, Sam hit it.
Who the fuck did that?
Some idiot in Alabama one day. Dude, Harper, I saw it happen. I was like, oh. It's like I could hear the crunch, too.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Idiot in Alabama, can you be more specific?
Nah, I'm not. I don't want to. I'm not mentioning names. But
so it could be the whole. It could be the whole state. Got it.
It was an indie show up in Alabama, but yeah, guy dove through and crunch. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Let's just say that. You ever seen a broken nose, Doc? It's not a
pretty sight.
Oh
yeah, I saw what's his name, Tree Rollins. What's his name? Rollins spread Cena's nose all over his face that time.
Oh yeah.
Seth Rollins, Tree Rollins, the basketball player, you idiot. okay, I agree, Harper. That was I thought Sam Houston sold it well, and you know Arn gets the win. So he's the world TV champion, and he puts the title on the line on TV. I loved it. Well, that match happens, and we go to an Arn promo, and here it is.
And here it is, world television's title. And it is still yours, and I know you're probably short of breath right now. Heck of a match. I mean, the young man really gave you a tussle out there.
Very formidable opponent. Very talented. A lot of guts.
Protege of Dusty Rhodes, I might say, also.
Same style. A lot of guts, a lot of fight, a lot of heart. But the bottom line is a little bit short on talent. Now, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA, Rock and Roll Express, Manny Fernandez, I don't care who you are. The bottom line is, this is mine. I earned it. Jim Crockett's not going to take it. David Crockett's not going to take it. Dusty Rhodes, you want this. You got to beat me for it in less than 20 minutes.
Cyril, the World Television Champion, Arn Anderson, we're coming right back.
One, he just worked a 13 to 14 minute match and he isn't blown up. Two, I thought that was a great one-minute promo.
Yep.
Harper, what did you think?
I love how he fucking put over Sam Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's to show that he didn't just beat some fucking loser.
Yes.
He beat a true contender for that title.
Yes. I agree. Doc.
Yeah.
Same thing. He got a lot in that minute, and everything he said had a meaning and a reason and fit and was perfect.
Yeah, that line he said with Houston, he has a lot of fight and a lot of heart, but he's a little short on talent. Like, I thought that was perfect. Talk about a line that's not a catchphrase, that's just impactful. That was great. I mean, he was just spot on, and literally, I timed it. It was like 56 seconds or 55 seconds of that promo, and it was perfect. I mean, for less than a minute. I really like that from Arn. So, anything else before I move on, Doc?
Oh, that was just really, really good.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Well, you know, it's funny that we hit the 75 reviews this week because Corny's back out here now.
Jesus Christ.
This is like Smoky Mountain TV. 40 Cornette promos in an episode. We love you, Corny. Here he is again. Here it is.
MAGA World Championship Wrestling. I think from what we've seen earlier, we're going to really enjoy this
insane
interview.
Right. Are you out of your McGinn over here? Get over here right now. Come here, cheap suit. Come here. What is this? Whose idea is this?
It's a cage, Jim.
Dusty Rhodes, Rock and Roll Express. Who you think it's funny, don't you? You think it's real funny? Look at this right here. Yeah. Look at that. You think it's...
Well, the racket won't fit through, but anyway, you're going to be 80 feet in the air, so it wouldn't matter.
80 feet in the air, up above the arena, up above over the ring. I am scared of heights, Tony Schiavone. I am terrified of heights. I am not an animal. I am not somebody that ought to be locked in a cage, Tony Schiavone. And I don't care whose idea it was, whether it's Dusty Rhodes, you big idiot, you goofy plumber son from Austin, Texas. I'm sick of hearing about all that stuff. You're nothing but trash. Rock and roll, you're insane. You're trying to get me killed.
You're nothing but trash. I refuse. I cannot. I will find my mother's lawyers. We'll definitely hear about this. My mother's doctor. I have a morbid fear of heights. I promise you, Tony. I'm not.
Don't you. Well, I wanted to ask him if he thought maybe if he would keep the racket away from the ring, things like this wouldn't happen. But there he goes. Let's go to the ring.
Did you hear what Cornette said? You think this is funny? And Shivani goes, yeah, I think it is. I thought it was good. Harper, what did you think?
Yeah, I like what he calls him, cheap suit.
Yeah, he's dragging him by his tie. I like that. Courtney's out there working. He's selling, boy. He's mad. He's calling Mama. He's getting Mama Cornette involved because it's 80 feet above the air. He's afraid of heights, all that good stuff in the cage. I mean, we've seen angles like this many a times before where they suspend a cage above a ring, and yeah, I loved it. Doc, what do you got?
I get the feeling that Shivani's really having fun with this too, because like earlier in the previous promo when he said he had the right to bear arms, Shivani gave him this look like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And that's what he's just interacting with him, and I just get the feeling that Shivani really, really is having fun with Cornette there. Just that it's there's a lot of interaction, and he's enjoying it. He's having a hard time, probably not cracking up himself.
Oh, he cracked a few. He couldn't contain himself a lot of it. So I'm with you on that. I thought it was great. Well, that promo happens, and then they go to an actual match where this is Nikita's last supposed TV match, and it's Nikita versus Josh Stroud. Nikita wins with the Russian Sickle. After Nikita wins, Magnum comes out and attacks Ivan. Because Ivan's out there and being a heel. Nikita helps Ivan, and they get the upper hand on Magnum. Nikita then hits Magnum with a clothesline off the top rope, but Dusty and Ronnie Garvin finally come out to save Magnum. They go off the air hot. You know, they're trying to build this whole deal with Magnum and Nikita, and I guess we'll see where it goes from there. That closes out the episode. There was no promo at the end, and we're off air at that point. So, which leaves us to the Doc, did you have anything from the match before we give out Rolexes?
Not a thing.
All right. Harper, anything?
Nope.
All right. So we need to give out a Rolex. So I'll throw it to Doc first. Doc, who gets the Rolex from you?
First of all, you really, really were a pussy last week. And I hope that the people on the in the Twitter really skewered you for us not giving it a grade last week. Even though it was bad, we just won't give it a grade because it was a bad episode. That was some bullshit, by the way.
Okay, proceed.
I'm going to give the Rolex to Corny because he pulled triple time, triple shift, and he was cracking up and he cracking me up, and he was, you know, called people trash and right to bear arms and my mama's going to help me and all that kind of shit. You know, we know.
Yes.
So, Jim Cornette.
Yeah, I got to agree. Jim Cornette's getting a Rolex. Harper, you?
Yeah, Jim Cornette. It seems that when you don't have Flair there to shoot two or three promos, I guess he's there to take that spot up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, he just was on a roll. Like, he came out he was out there at the very beginning, and then in the middle, and then at the end. So he's like had this sandwich effect going on. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was real effective, you know, with it. I really did. I thought he was good, you know, from the poster with the fat woman at the beginning all the way to at the end. You know, he's going to get the mama's lawyer involved, and he's not being hung in a cage, and Shivani's laughing at him. Shivani helped put that over, too. I probably need to say that again. But, yeah, it's got to be Cornette. I don't see how you give it to anybody else. Maybe Arn's a contender for it just from the short one, but even then it's still kind of hard because his is so short. And we've seen Arn do such great work otherwise. Not that that wasn't great, but Arn's really nailed some in the past. So that leaves the rating. You know, Doc and I talked offline. We didn't give it a rating, but he said he didn't like this episode. I thought this episode was fine. I'm going to give it a B+. Came close to giving it an A-, but I'm going to give it a B+. So, Doc, what are you going to give it?
No champ, no good grade. B-.
Trent, let me translate it for you. He's got Ric Flair's third leg in his mouth, and that's why he doesn't want to give it anything more than a B-, which I think is really stupid. Harper, what about you?
I'll give it a B. I mean, we didn't have Flair, but you had Jim Cornette to kind of – fill that spot in with the fucking awesome heel promos.
I thought so too. That's why I was like B plus. I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but I mean, it was good. I was fine with it. Yeah, I was fine. All right. Well, with that said, we got one more topic. Well, we got to close the show out, but we got one more topic that I wanted to get to. Doc, did you want to talk a little about the baby doll interview? Because I had that to talk about last week, but we ran long.
Jesus Christ, it's been 2.5 weeks since I listened to it. I don't remember what the fuck she said.
Okay, well, I'll refresh your memory, podcast Jesus. Before I do so, I do want to thank all of our patrons for being patrons and signing up. If you want to sign up and become a patron and help support the show so that, you know, we could use the support. Let me just say that. So
we're
go to
broke
tiny URL.
Shit. We're broke as shit and we need money. Yeah. Don't make us fold up shop here.
Don't make us beg. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. You know, the YouTube page is active, but it doesn't bring in the revenue that it was bringing in before YouTube screwed us. So, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. I do want to say thanks to all the patrons. We've got some new patrons. Jay Shiny, B. Evans, 5179, Drew Media, Big Rich Sports, T. Steele, Spy Boy Sports Cap, Steven C.G., Mike Havercroft, Sparks Third Coast, M. Wilson, Voodoo Moon, Frog Zeppelin, K-Stone, Lone Wolf, G.A.M., Codeman, Adam William Dan, and Jason Danvey, David Wayne G., Twit Dust, Matt, Armando Cedric Boone, and Marty, thanks for being patrons. Look, you know what? It doesn't cost much. I mean, you can sign up for as little as you want, and you get access to our patron-only episodes. I mean, it's not the reason we did the patron stuff, but, hey, it's one thing that I was like, hey, Doc, you know, we have plenty of conversations offline, sometimes not about wrestling. How about we just throw those and make them patron episodes? So that's what we basically did. But, again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. And depending on how much you sign up for, you can become an immediate BTT Patron Hall of Famer. Guys like William Shepard at ShepDaddy32, Marty Howell at MartinHowell71, Tim Moretti at Tim Moretti, Coldman822 as well, and David DeVries at Unconvinced Ray are all Patron Hall of Famers or BTT, hashtag BTT Army Hall of Famers. So we appreciate that very much. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Doc, you know what I watched this week? I watched that Cena promo again where he breaks kayfabe and tells at the ESPYs last year, where he tells all the sports people I'm going to play that. That's going to be our promo of the week next week. It just hit me. I don't know what came to my random thought just now, but it hit me. We're going to play that again because we had a long talk about that, and I think that would be a great topic for discussion. All right, Doc. Well, let's talk about Baby Doll and Two-Man Power Trip. So here's the one thing that I did want to talk about, or two things. One, Baby Doll talked about the Tully and Magnum feud that ended in the cage at Starrcade 85. We covered that a few months back. Doc, did you hear when she said that if that feud didn't end, those two are really going to kill each other?
Yeah, I think you see the evidence of that in the cage. I mean, Jesus, it was almost uncomfortable. We said this at the time. It was almost uncomfortable to watch.
And then you all, I'm sure you and Harper remember, she talked about the promo where Magnum comes out and kisses her, and then Tully runs out and they start fighting, and they're like literally throwing punches. She said her exact words on there were, they were really going at it. She was like, you could feel the electricity and the energy in that set, in that building, because that was in an arena, not in a studio, if you remember the way that happened.
Worldwide.
She said it was at Worldwide. She said they were fighting. Like, they were literally, and if you go back and watch it, I said it too when we did it. I was like, those dudes are throwing some real blows. That ain't fake. So I wanted to mention that. Now, here's the other thing that kind of threw me for a loop. Not threw me for a loop, but I thought was interesting, given our Buddy Landell discussions. Baby Doll also said the original plans were to put her with Buddy Landell, but that changed when Buddy was fired. She said she was going to go with Buddy, and Buddy and Ric Flair were going to work a program.
That would have been awesome.
Isn't that crazy how that, like, changed? The Horsemen, I still think, would have been, but how that changed just history?
Yeah.
How Flair... It's just insane how that, because you think about that angle where, you know, Tully slaps her and now she goes with Dusty. So was that still going to happen, except it was Buddy that was going to be that saved her? I don't know. It's just speculation. I just thought that was interesting. Doc, do you remember her saying that?
Yeah, it makes you wonder just how much, you know, it's always hard to say, but how much Buddy really threw away with his demons.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, we've heard him say things like he was getting primed for things, and it's like, yeah, sure, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But whenever you get somebody else to corroborate that, it's always more impactful, and she certainly seemed to make it seem like that was the case.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, we're going to get to the promo in a week in a second. Just wanted to mention our Amazon link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. I cannot even begin to tell you how much Doc constantly puts over and tells me about Bobby Blaze's book, Pin Me, Pay Me. And I mentioned that because you can get that from Amazon. You can get many things from Amazon. You can buy just about anything from Amazon. So again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Go buy a bunch of stuff. Go do what Doc's wife did. Buy like 6 swimsuits. And he was telling me a story before we started recording about his wife just wasting money on Amazon. But again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Whatever you buy, we get a little bit of small kickback in return, and we definitely would appreciate it. I also want to mention the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. Kingpin, Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett, they do a podcast Mondays on the NAI Network, and then one on their Thursday feed. One on Thursdays on their own feed. The best way to find them, search WPAN, which stands for Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, on your favorite podcast app. They talk some new school stuff. They talk some old school stuff. It's a really, really good show. I enjoy listening to it, so check them out, again, twice a week. And then shout out Great Brian Last, 605 Super Podcast, and all the work that Brian does on that show. All right, Doc, you got anything else before I get into the show close and the promo of the week that we got here?
So it was announced today. Who do you think wins, Conor McGregor or Floyd Mayweather?
That depends on the rules.
If it's just a straight up boxing match, huh?
If it's a boxing match, I would. First off, it's a work. Let's get that out the way.
That's what we need from you.
Okay, first off, it's a work. But in a legit boxing match, Floyd wins. If it's MMA, Floyd gets his ass whooped. But problem is, it's a work.
It's got to be a work, bro.
It's a money grab.
It is a definite money grab.
Dude, me and you had a long talk today about the 1984 Celtics and Lakers that we're going to do a Patreon episode on. So let's got to get into works. It's a money grab. I don't know. My money, if it's a boxing match, my money would be on Mayweather, though. What about you, Harper?
Yeah, that's his fucking expertise.
Right. I mean, if McGregor can't take him to the ground, it's like, you know,
what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think the whole thing is just stupid. Which is why it's a work. It ain't real.
It's like in Rocky III when it was Hogan versus Stallone.
Rocky got his ass whooped.
Yeah.
By a wrestler that was fake fighting. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Whatever. I also want to mention, hey, I didn't say it earlier, but our Facebook page, go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Getting lots of people commenting on the page now. We appreciate it. Again, it's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And then while you are there, click the Shop Now button, go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. And any of the links that I'm mentioning, we also have in the show notes, along with, I've got a bunch of new T-shirts up on our TeePublic store. So we are limited to a few T-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees, but on our TeePublic store, there is a ton of other stuff. So check out the links in the show notes. There are a ton of them there, and just different shirts that have been selling, and I'm very happy that y'all like Ron Wright. And let me just give a teaser. Baby's got a pot roast on. That might be in the show notes. That said, Twitter, we're on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper is at @CJHWhoDat. Follow him. And then, Doc, this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler. And Harper, this is going to be a little bit of a spoiler for some people. So I'm warning you now, if you're following along with Smoky Mountain and you don't want us to spoil things, I am about to play a Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy promo from episode 62 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling from April the 3rd of 1993. I say it's a spoiler because they talk about some things here going on at that time that may spoil things for you. So if you don't want to listen, hit the fast forward button and close out the show now. But if you do want to listen, Ron Wright is absolute gold in this promo. Doc, I told you about it earlier this week, and I'm going to play it now, but here it is. So, again, this is episode 62 from April the 3rd of 1993. Spoiler alert, if you don't want to know what happens, you may want to just end the show. Here it is.
Hey fans, we're at ringside right now with the legendary Mr. Ron Wright and, of course, his man, the Dirty White Boy. But, Mr. Wright, Tennessee chain matches, they're nothing new to you. As a matter of fact, you're the master of the Tennessee chain matches.
Yeah, you're right, but let me tell you something. I didn't know just how red-necked, ignorant, backwards these hillbillies here in the South were till I got out of the South and got up north. You know, I had to get even up North Carolina to Duke University to find out what was wrong with my bad heart. I couldn't even, I thought the whole world had a smog over it from pollution. And I got up New York 2 weeks ago and the Dirty White Boy took me to eye specialist and they burnt my eyeballs with laser. Now I can see everything's clear. But I'm telling you, it's a shame and a disgrace. But now I've come down with something else. They found out up there in New York, I've been having attacks. Nobody down here could find out what it was. And they found out I've got asthmatic bronchitis. It had been bothering me to death. And them New York doctors, they've been getting that cleared up on me. But now let me get back to these chain matches, Bob. I am the master. I am the walking, talking, living legend in the world of these chain matches. I had 513 of these chain matches, and I only lost one of them in a 22-year span, and some idiot threw a fifth bottle of liquor from up in the back and hit me in the head and knocked me out. It's the only reason I lost that. But I've hunted the world over, finding somebody that could get in my shoes and fill them and take care of this chain and do what got to be done, and I found it right here in my beloved Dirty White Boy. He's going to carry on. I feel sorry for anybody that puts his name on the line and gets in the ring with him in one of these chain matches.
All right, White Boy, you got the ball. What you going to do with it?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do with the ball. You know, me and Mr. Wright's been in New York City, and I've been going down to Fort Apache in the Bronx, which is the worst place on the face of the earth. I'd climb a street ladder about anywhere from 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd bust it out with this chain. I'd come back down, there'd be a gang waiting on me. After I whooped all them, went and had me a little lunch, went back and checked on Mr. Ron Wright, so I've been training real, real hard. But Tracy Smothers, take a real good look at this chain. 12 foot long, big boy, and I don't think that you've got enough guts to put your wrist at the other end of this. And if you do, it's real simple, Smothers. I'm going to stomp your stinking guts, and then I'm going to shove his chain straight down your throat.
All right. There it is right there, fans, from the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Ron.
What everybody can't see right there is Ron Wright. Bob Cottle is laughing at Ron when he's talking about the redneck doctors versus the New York doctors. Doc, it's been a long time since you heard that, but Harper hadn't heard it at all. Again, this is way ahead where we are right now with Smoky Mountain, but I just got to say, the Harper says it all the time. Ron Wright can't do any wrong.
Nope.
He can't. Mm-mm. So, Doc, do you remember that promo now that I replayed it?
No. But if we just did more episodes as fast as I wanted to, we could get caught up.
Okay, well, we will get there. So, that said, I think Harper, you got to plug some stuff, don't you?
On June 24th, man.
Yeah, it's at the, damn, it's
at
that
the Shamrock. I know, huh?
Damn, it's only 10 days away. All right, yep. June 24th, Wildcat Sports, Tracy Smothers, right?
Right, Tracy Smothers will be there.
Who else?
Sandman's going to be there.
That's right. That was the one I'm missing. So ECW, yeah. Sandman's going to be there. Tracy mm-hmm. Smothers going to be there. And then your normal Wildcat crew will be there. Anyone else like from the legends, like I know Smothers. Is Blue Meanie going to be there this time or no?
I don't remember.
No. Okay. All right. No big deal. All right. So, again, June 24th, Shamrock. It's a Saturday night. Right, Harper?
Right. In New Orleans.
All right. What time?
7 o'clock.
So Google the Shamrock in New Orleans if you're in the area. If you're on the Gulf Coast, go check it out. Here's the other thing. It's an adult show. It's an X-rated show.
Yeah,
so
keep those little rat bastards at the house.
Yeah, it's only 18 and above. So
sounds like there's going to be a lot of finger banging and face fucking.
Oh, wow.
That's real classy of you. I mean, come on, man. So, again, Wildcat Sports, go check it out. They call them X-rated or adult shows. Obviously, they're not porn or anything. They're just adult-oriented. I mean, it's just for adults. So, go check it out.
Yeah.
Always some good stuff. Harper will be doing his thing. Harper's guy, Socorro, who was a guest on the show in the past, won the Revolution title this past weekend in Philly. So, they'll be there. I'm assuming defending the title. Is it a rematch, Harper?
Yep. Versus Danny Flamingo.
Versus Danny Flamingo. So my protege that disappointed me this weekend. But anyway, that's that. Yeah, so Wildcat Sports, June 24th, Shamrock, and be there at 7 p.m. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
No.
Okay. All right, y'all. Well, y'all know the drill. We played the promo of the week, so that's that. So I don't think there's anything else. So, Doc... I'm sorry, Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here for this week's episode where we covered NWA Saturday Night from February 15th of 1986.
Fuck it, bitch.
Welcome to World Class Championship Wrestling from the World Fame Sportatorium here in downtown Dallas, Texas, the most famous wrestling arena in the world. We bring you World Class Championship Wrestling. I'm Bill Mercer, and great to have you with us wherever you may be throughout the world.